S-R-N.
What's the matter?
I have a headache.
It might be a tumor.
It's not a tumor. It's not a tumor at all.
So the bartender lived. The bartender never gets killed.
And my name is Serge, and how can I help you?
Right around that corner, there is a sandwich shop. They sell meatball sandwiches. Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two?
What about you, Peggy Susan?
I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief. Find him for $3, but I'll catch him. And kill him for 10.
What is it you want us to do?
I want to talk to Samson. Fly me to the moon like that bitch Alice Cramer.
Nobody is wasting nobody. That is a miracle.
I admire your luck, Mr.
Call me Snake.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Viso.
There we go. Welcome to episode 74 of Cinema Crespo Viso. I could easily restart that and do that over, but I don't feel like it. Thank you very much.
Lazy bastard.
I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. Let's hear that one more time. That was my co-host, Drewson Cogburn.
What up, bro?
How's it going, Drew?
It's going, man.
All right. We are here, episode 74.
Crespo, we made it.
Sue us, Drake. This is a late show for us. I think only the third time we've ever done After Hours.
After Dark.
There's a Cinema Sexy Diso is what this is.
Yeah.
Sexy time. It's a Cinema Crespo Diso for lovers.
Just do me a favor. Keep the robe on. If you start undoing your robe and getting all comfortable, I'm telling you, I'm going to walk out.
Yeah, but what if every time I disrobe?
No, I'm going to walk away. I don't care what happens.
But when I disrobe, this happens. It's happening. Disrobing.
It's not the Olympics. Keep the robe on. I'll walk away.
Okay.
You'll do this episode by yourself.
Okay. Ugh, I can't.
That's I don't want to see that.
An hour and a
Nobody
half.
Wants to see that.
No one wants to see it?
Nobody.
No one?
Nobody. Not a single person.
All right. Well, that settles that one. I was actually looking for more sexy time music.
That was not sexy. I mean, man, if the Olympic theme song was your sexy time music, that'd be
sexy
a little
time.
Weird. I mean,
sexy diso man. No.
No.
No. Okay.
No. No. All right. So this week's Netflix instant pick of the week.
No, I was looking for more sexy music. No, all right.
Not gonna happen this time around, buddy.
All right. Well,
I'm moving the show along.
Well, thank God. Thank God for a co-host, co-producer. As you can see, this is a late show. Feeling a little loopy, and we're just starting. So if you stick with us by the end, I'm sure you'll hear some tasty gems fall out of our word mouths. Doing a Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. We do this every week. You can check out past Netflix Instant Picks of the Week at chriscrespo.com. Where, you know, every week we pick something from the Netflix Instant Library, the gigantic library of tens of thousands of movies and titles, and we try to pick one for you that we tell you it's going to be good.
Well, I know for a fact this one's good. It's a freaking classic.
The
Big Boss, a.k.a. Fist of Fury.
Oh, right. Very nice.
Yeah. Some Bruce Lee.
Big Boss. It's labeled as Big Boss,
yes,
on the Netflix.
Correct.
Most people here in the States, anyway, might know it as Fist of Fury. What happened was Bruce Lee made Fist of Fury. No, he made the Big Boss, and then he made the Chinese Connection.
Uh-huh.
The Chinese Connection? How did it work? No. Okay. He made the Chinese Connection,
uh-huh,
and then he made Fist of Fury.
Uh-huh.
Okay. In China. All
right, yes.
Both those movies got released right around the same time.
Uh-huh.
And then they both got exported to America at the exact same time,
uh-huh,
by the same company.
Yeah.
The labels on the boxes got switched.
Ah.
So the movie about him having Fist of Fury for vengeance,
mm-hmm,
that gets switched over to the movie about the connection to Chinese mob for drug guys. So Chinese Connection becomes Fist of Fury, Fist of Fury becomes Chinese Connection. in the end, the original title, Fist of Fury, was Big Boss. I don't know what was up with titles back in the day. especially in the Asian market, cinema market in the 60s and 70s. They were just like, screw it. So this is the one where Bruce Lee plays a young farm guy who gets sent to live with his cousins somewhere to work at the ice factory that they all work at. Turns out... Ice Factory is a front for a drug cartel.
Correct.
So they're packing the cocaine in the ice and stuff, and Bruce Lee, his character, finds out about it, but the big boss is like tries to be cool and tries to woo him with money and women and drinks, and it's a pretty crazy movie. And then meanwhile, cousins start dying one at a time, you know, and it's like, where's Chow? Where'd he go? We don't know. He probably went and got drunk somewhere, and the whole time he's dead.
No.
Yeah. It's a crazy movie. A lot of action towards the end.
Oh, of course, it's Bruce Lee. He whoops ass.
Right, but he plays a character who's like, he made a promise to his dying mother or something.
That he wouldn't whoop any more ass.
He would never fight again, yeah. So he has to like hold off on the fighting. But then once he starts fighting, everyone's like, holy cow, this guy is better than everyone else. And then the final fight where he takes on an entire gang at the ice factory.
Yep.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Great stuff. And yeah, it's just a awesome movie.
Yes, it is. It's Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. There you go. Yeah, I recommend all Bruce Lee movies very much. So, all right, let's get into the box office recap for the weekend. Drew.
Yes, sir.
I assume you have the numbers there in front of you.
I do.
Do you know where we're starting? What number we're starting?
Well,
at?
Yeah. I mean, hang on a second. Hang on. I forgot. I didn't see this movie, so I forgot about. I forgot.
Oh movie. Yeah, that's right.
So we got number 11.
Looks like the 20s.
26.
Number 26 movie
starting
of the weekend.
Off number 26. Night Moves. It made $50,500.
$50,500.
For a grand total of $81,000.
Yeah. Only playing on 31 screens this weekend.
Correct.
They added 29 of them. Last weekend was only playing on 2 screens across the country. Playing on 31 now. One of them just happens to be in Old Winter Park, Florida.
I'm looking forward to this coming out on DVD so I can see it.
Yeah, it's a good one. I saw it. I checked it out. And it's a very, very interesting movie. Night Moves is about... first off, it's not a remake of the 70s Gene Hackman movie, Night Moves. Okay. But instead, it's a whole new movie about... There's three environmentalists. Jesse Eisenberg, Dakota Fanning... Peter Sarsgaard.
I love the Sarsgaard family.
They're all good. And they play three environmentalists who, it's up in Oregon, up in the Pacific Northwest, so the whole movie is gray and rainy and green and brown, you know. It definitely has, like, the local color. It definitely is very strong in the movie, which is cool. Mm-hmm. Their plan is to blow up a hydroelectric dam.
Sweet.
That's holding back a river. They want to blow up a dam, and they put the plan together, and the movie's all about... The first part of the movie is like kind of a procedural type of thing, where it's about them getting the pieces together.
And this is how we're going to do it.
Yeah, so it's all the tension of them. Can they actually pull this off? Can they do it? Blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I mean, spoiler, I don't know, halfway through the movie... Because it's pretty early in the movie that whole part happens. I don't want to, like, sell people on the whole thing just being about the dam explosion. Mm-hmm. Because it happens, and then the movie's about the consequences of it happening and the three different characters
who's
and how
gonna
they
crack.
Deal with it. Yeah, who's going to crack, that sort of thing. That's, like, in the trailer, too. Yeah. Like, who's going to talk. And it's pretty tense, but, you know, but it's not done in a way that people would expect.
Okay.
You know, it's very... This director, Kelly Reichardt, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name. But all of her other movies, like Meek's Cut Off and Wendy and Lucy, they're very devoid of dialogue. Mm-hmm. Like almost silent movies. You know, she conveys a lot of information visually.
Yeah.
And she also knows how to... She takes her sweet-ass time. She knows how she wants her movies paced.
Yeah.
It's not mainstream, you know? There's a lot of long shots and scenes where very minimal, subtle things happen, and it all builds up. And, you know, I can definitely see a lot of people kind of being turned off by what would be perceived as a slowness, you know? But really, it's just a very deliberate pacing of the movie.
I don't mind slowness as long as it's, you know, done well.
Done well, and it means something. No. It builds up to something. And this one, for sure, it builds up to something that I like very much. But another thing that I think would turn a lot of people away is that when it gets to the final scene is pretty ambiguous.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and warn people now. The last scene and the last shots has an ambiguity to it where... I'm pretty sure I know what's happening next, what's going on.
No.
But you know,
there's no definitive answer.
It's not spelled out. You know, it's an interesting ending, and I like it quite a bit. And I like the movie a lot. I think it's really good. I definitely think people should. I mean, if you get a chance to see it in a theater, it might be worth seeing it just because, you know, it helps out the movie. It's a very low budget film, obviously, and they need the help. They need we need people to see movies like this because, you know, if you can't on one hand be like, oh, no, there's no original movies in Hollywood. Then on the other hand, don't see shit like only turn out for like Transformers.
Yeah.
Because that makes you part of the problem. Usually those are people that cried the loudest, too, about that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But Night Moves is good. So, I mean, if you don't get the chance to see it in the theater, I wouldn't be surprised. So, DVD.
Redbox.
On demand. You know, stuff like that. Definitely give it a watch. Eisenberg, that guy's been between that and the double.
Yeah, he's making some weird movies.
Yeah, weird out there movies.
Fun though.
Fun ones, artistic choices that are outside the mainstream. You know, I'm definitely enjoying what he's doing lately, for sure. And everyone else is really good too. Dakota Fanning, Sarsgaard. It's a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. So Night Moves. Actually, my review of that is already up on ChrisCrespo.com.
All right.
So you can check it out there.
And from there, we go to number five, obviously.
Number five.
No Home Ways to Die in the West made $7.18 million for a total of 30 on a budget of whatever, 2 weeks, it's garbage, on to number four.
Yeah, not a good movie. If you want to hear our reviews of A Million to Die, when did this movie come out?
Ways to Die in the West.
This came out 2 weeks, right? If you want to hear our full reviews, you can go ahead and check out episode 73. We went into that in depth. Or you can also go to ChrisCrespo.com for my written review of A Million something earlier. Okay.
And number four, X-Men Days of Future Past made a weekend gross of $14.7 million, total gross of $189 on a budget of $200.
There you go. Looking like it might be the first summer movie to crack 200 million. Godzilla slowed down quite a bit. I thought it would get to over 200, but it's at 185.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's... Man, it's going to have to stick around for a couple weeks longer than it probably should if it wants to make that money.
Yes, X-Men Days of Future Past at 189 and only 3 weeks. It makes 7 million next week. Yeah, it'll definitely break 200. Where's Spider-Man topping off at?
I'm checking. I don't see it.
How is it not on the list?
I don't know.
Was it already pulled from theaters? Meanwhile, Captain America Winter Soldier still made
another for almost $500,000. Yeah.
Almost $500,000. Who's seeing this 10 weeks out? Who's seeing Captain America Winter Soldier?
People, old men who want to see the new...
What's that new movie, dude? America?
Exactly. Well, yeah, people who just want to see the...
Captain America, sir? Yes, I'll see that.
The new Robert Redford flick. They're just like, oh, Redford's in the movie. Let's go see that new Robert Redford movie.
Let's go see that new Redford. Maybe
this one he'll get lost in the desert by himself instead of on a boat.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe. Well, X-Men Days of Future Past making good money. It's a really good movie. So that came out 3 weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
It's episode 72.
I mean, the best X-Men movie, quite possibly the best comic book movie that's been made with, I mean, mainstream comic book movie that's been made.
Hey, we talked about that last week, and for sure, whether it's the best comic book movie or not. So episode 73, again, or 72 for a full review of X-Men, or ChrisCrespo.com for my full review of X-Men.
Number three this week.
Here we go, new movie.
Edge of Tomorrow. All right. Had a weekend gross of $29.1 million, same as a total budget of $178.
Man, that's a pricey movie. Edge of Tomorrow, directed by Doug Liman.
Yes.
Who apparently... Day one, showed up day one. They shot a whole bunch of war stuff day one. Day two, he was like, we're scrapping day one. We're doing it all over again.
Boom.
And people are like, we are fucked. This guy is insane. $111 million international. $140 already worldwide. $30 million for Senor Cruz. That's a little less than I think Oblivion opened to.
I was about to say what Oblivion, because I don't know... Personally, I really like Tom Cruise in these sci-fi movies.
You know, because he goes like all in for them. You know,
he really does. And you know, most of it, he makes it really believable. And you know, just the little world that they make within these movies, I think is really fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same. You know, personally, it's the same with Edge of Tomorrow for me. I think this is, you know, once again, Tom Cruise is staring out of the ballpark.
Yeah, he's great. He's great in the movie for sure. I'm looking at some of the numbers here. At $29 million, this is comparable opening weekend-wise to Elysium.
Okay.
Elysium opened at $29 million, and John Carter opened at $30 million. It's a little closer to John Carter because of the big budget.
Yeah.
At $178 million. Oblivion made a little more, made a little over $37 million, and also you can kind of compare it to Pacific Rim, which also made a little over $37 million,
yeah,
because of, you know, alien invasion and humans versus Last Stand type of thing. But Edge of Tomorrow, Groundhog Day meets Saving Private Ryan.
You know, this movie might end up having some legs on it.
It,
because in all reality, if you haven't been to the movies, if you're not like a moviegoer who goes every week,
yeah,
there are still movies that you should see before you see Edge of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Like if you haven't seen X-Men: Days of Future Past, you need to see that.
Right,
you need to see that, and then after that, you should probably go see Godzilla, and then, you know, check out Edge of Tomorrow. It's a great movie. But
so you think,
I mean,
maybe people will catch up to it.
I think people will. I hope so, at least.
We'll see so. All right, well, let's give the review of Edge of Tomorrow. Tom Cruise plays a guy who gets conscripted into a major invasion into France because apparently much of Europe is controlled by some aliens.
Yep.
What were they called?
Mimics.
Mimics. And he's part of the invasion. The invasion goes horribly wrong, and he dies pretty quickly. But then he wakes up. It's the same day. Groundhog Day style. He has to live it all over again. And it keeps dying and living over and over and over. And, yeah, so what did you think, Drew?
I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like it was action sci-fi Groundhog Day.
Fun's
exactly
word.
What it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I thought the little world that they created was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Emily Blunt was awesome and super hot.
She was really good.
She was a badass warrior. I gotta say, it's something about a girl wielding a sword. I don't know what it is.
She was definitely wielding a sword.
Yeah.
Even though she said she would never be a spear carrier in a Tom Cruise movie.
Sword carrier.
Or no, she said spear carrier.
Yeah, I know. But she was a sword carrier.
So it's different.
Yeah, okay, it is. So. Slightly different.
Okay.
She wasn't a spear carrier. She was a sword carrier.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, I really enjoyed it for what it was. It was a fun action sci-fi movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's extremely enjoyable.
Yeah.
It's not that deep, you know. I mean, it's not trying to be, though. It's just trying to be a good piece of entertainment, which is, this is the type of movie.
With a fun little twist.
Yeah, with a little twist and turns. You know when people say, like, they go see a big dumb movie and they try to excuse liking it by, like, oh, I don't want to think.
Uh-huh.
I just want to turn my brain off.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Like, to... in order to watch something really dumb and, you know, make themselves feel better about it. I hate that excuse. You shouldn't have to turn your brain off to enjoy a piece of entertainment.
Well, and especially with a movie like this.
And a movie also doesn't have to be, like, overly engaging to not be entertaining. This movie is, like, perfect. It's summer entertainment.
Yeah.
I sat down. I was just going with the flow. It's like, oh, this is a fun concept. You know, it wasn't trying to throw me for a huge loop or anything.
No.
Wasn't trying to get all too deep or meta or, you know, as its little themes here and there.
No.
But, you know, it's a fun movie.
It is.
And it wasn't dumb.
No, it wasn't dumb. Not at all.
No, like it's like a lot like X-Men, Godzilla, Pacific Rim. These movies, they don't have to be dumb. You don't have to do this whole bullshit, turn your brain off type of thing.
Yep.
You can still... get a good piece of solid mainstream popcorn entertainment.
And it was a lot of fun watching Tom Cruise die all the time.
Over and over.
And a couple of times it was actually humorous.
Yeah.
The way he died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, they definitely, like you said, fun is the perfect word, I think.
Yeah.
That's definitely the perfect word to describe this movie. It's a fun, entertaining, like pretty crazy little movie.
Like,
I really like the design of the aliens. They were kind of sort of like Sentinels in Matrix, but it's a little creepier and harder to see.
They were like monster faced, but it looked like giant land octopus.
I was gonna say, I was thinking calamari, baby octopus.
Yeah,
giant
land octopus, but on land, not in the water. I mean, they were in the water too,
but it looked like they were flying around though.
Yeah,
like they would in the water.
Flying around on their many, many limbs.
I do like how they were something where it was pretty hard to make out what they were. You know, obviously it's very alien looking. It's hard to come up with new, fresh alien designs now all these years later after all these sci-fi movies.
No.
I mean, they've been designed to death.
They have.
One day we're going to see actual aliens and be like,
whoa.
Oh, this... that guy got it.
This it was him.
It was that dude. That dude nailed exactly what aliens look like. How did he do it?
Yeah.
But it's because you just, well, I don't know. It's just weird, right? But it's got, so you say go check it out in theaters.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, sure. You know, once again, this is another one of those, you know, summer, it's a summer action movie. So, you know, it helps seeing on the big screen with the big sound and the big explosions.
Yeah.
And the big everything.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I really agree. Definitely worth seeing in the theater. I enjoy it very much. I'm looking forward to when it comes out on a DVD or HBO or whatever.
I'm so looking forward to
revisit
it again
down the road.
No.
Tom Cruise is great, man. He just goes all in.
He does, and he nailed it too.
Every movie he does, he goes all in. And this one's because he starts out like a coward.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, he tries to talk his way out of everything.
And then he works his way into being a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, at the end, he's awesome. Pretty cool. I don't know about the ending, the very, very ending. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
But...
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Especially for being...
I think that had... For the movie that preceded that, the fun times and everything, I think it had to have an ending like that.
It did.
Try not to be specific about it or anything.
Yeah.
But you know, I know you know what I'm talking
about. Well, it's a very American ending. Like the ending is very American. It's very, it's kind of uplifting and, like if this was made probably, like if this had been a completely European production.
Maybe, yeah.
It could have ended at a different point in time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
America.
Yes.
All right, so what's the number two movie of the weekend?
Number two, Maleficent. Weekend gross at $33.5 million. Total of $127.3 on a budget of $180.
Let's see what it means. International, we're looking at, dear God, $208 million international, $335 worldwide. Angelina Jolie, killing it. She's an international worldwide star, man.
Of course
Plus
she is.
Plus, it's a Disney movie. You know, I mean, a lot of clout over there overseas, so this movie's banking. Good for her. You know, she hinted recently that she might be done with acting soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there... Wait, she does... Because she doesn't want to be an ugly old lady on camera?
Maybe.
Man, let me tell you, she's... Man, once she does actually stop, you know, getting plastic surgery and probably eating her husband's HGH, she is not going to age well.
You think she can't even get her own HGH? She can get her own HGH.
I mean, whatever.
Brad. She's Angelina Jolie. She doesn't need to leech off Brad Pitt's HGH.
I'm sure. All I'm saying, man. She's going to have one of those old lady skull faces.
Yeah, she is not. Like Madonna.
Oh, God, Madonna, it's so bad.
But she's been talking about how recently she's might be done soon. She's 38 years old, and which is young to retire from acting. But she's also getting into directing. She's now directing her second movie. And so she might do. She's been talking for years, trying to do a Cleopatra movie. Almost did a Cleopatra musical with Steven Soderbergh.
What?
And the musical part was Soderbergh's idea.
Excuse me.
Uh huh. But that fell apart.
Weird ass man.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, Soderbergh's a weird guy. He's a weird dude. So that fell apart. So she still wants to get Cleopatra made. That might be her swan song, her last acting role, and then she's gonna move on to other stuff, directing. You know, she's got all her humanitarian stuff. She's got like 20 kids that she's got to raise around.
Yeah,
house.
Yeah. None of them biologically hers.
No, like two or three of them are.
You sure about that?
Yeah. I pay close attention to the personal lives of Brad Pitt. Angelina Jolie,
sure
thanks to People Magazine, the official sponsor of Dinner Crespediso. Mealtime with Cress, hosted by Drew Sacagra. Coming soon.
Number one this week, The Fault in Our Stars. Weekend gross of $48.2 million, Sims total budget 12.
Apparently an epic tearjerker.
Well, it's a cancer love story.
Cancer teen love story.
It's
got to
be like the saddest thing ever.
Story.
Hey, spoiler alert, I'm pretty sure she dies at the end.
Does she die?
That would be fun.
Maybe they all die.
That would be fun, you know.
Maybe an asteroid comes just wipes
them all out. Because in the trailer, you know, she meets him in like some weird cancer class or support group, and he's like, oh, I've been in remission for so long. What if it comes back and he's the one who dies?
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, that'd be even sadder.
Apparently, it's a multi-hanky movie. You know, back in the day, that's how they used to describe movies like that, a one hanky or a two hanky. This is like a 1,000 hanky movie.
Okay.
So everyone should get together with your friends. Y'all go see the movie. And then whoever cries first has to pay for dinner or something like that. You gotta,
sweet.
I'm definitely waiting for this to be on DVD or Netflix or something so I can watch it in my room by myself.
I was about to say, I'll take that bet with you, Chris, and then next question, where are we going to dinner on you? Cause
no,
I'm watching
in my room by myself.
I'm not going to cry. I've never shed a tear from watching a movie.
Never shed a tear.
not a single tear has been shed whilst watching a movie.
Juice Cochran in Never Shed a Tear.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm going to definitely watch it under a blanket by myself one day. The writer of the book that the movie is based on, The Fault in Our Stars, from Orlando, grew up in Orlando, lived here until he was about 15, then he moved to the Midwest somewhere. Apparently grew up a nerdy recluse who was picked on by the other kids.
Sweet, I can relate.
Yep, and he was like, growing up in Orlando, he's like, I can't wait to get out of here. But now that he's a grown up, he's like, I actually kind of like it. It was nice.
That's nice.
One of his other books that he wrote called Paper Towns is like a murder mystery type thing, and that's set in Orlando, and
they're making
that into a movie.
Are they going to be filming it in Orlando?
I wonder. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Probably not, but they should, but they won't. Actually, I saw an article recently in the OrlandoSentinel.com about how the film incentives for the Central Florida area, like the Florida Film Incentive Package that the government put out there, all the money that's available to productions, and that was allotted through 2015, already used up.
Nice.
So it's brought a lot of work to Orlando, obviously, and people have come here and used those incentives, but now that they're all used up,
no one wants to come.
No, people. It's harder now to get people here for the next year and a half until it's up for a vote again, so they're trying to like get some emergency money in there or some shit. You know, it's kind of crazy. But it's good that there's been more productions here, and then the article actually had a list of things that were being done here recently, and it was a pretty interesting little list.
Nice.
The one I'm looking forward to the most is the Brad Bird live-action movie with George Clooney, Tomorrowland. Somehow loosely based on the Tomorrowland section of Magic Kingdom.
That might be kind of creepy.
Yeah, and it was filmed over like on the coast and the Central Florida area and stuff. Lord. So looking forward to seeing that. All right, so that Fault in Our Stars made a lot of money. Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, hell, they tripled their money in one weekend.
Yeah, good for them, for sure. Pull up my notes here. New movie is coming out on DVD this week, folks. Did you ever want to see Liam Neeson on an airplane?
Did I want to? Not really, but I did.
Well, if you didn't, Nonstop is on DVD this Tuesday, this week. Check it out. Liam Neeson on an airplane. That's how...
Wait, wasn't he already on an airplane? And didn't it crash and didn't he have to fight wolves?
Yeah, but yeah, he was on that plane for a very short amount of time.
Okay.
And this one, he's on the plane for almost the whole damn time.
I know.
Both of them involving plane crashes, though. Nonstop could use more wolves.
Your buddy Scoot's in it.
I really like Scoot McNairy. I like Scoot. Scoot's good. Scoot is in this, he's doing some TV show now.
Not very nice.
I think he's on that Penny Dreadful show, maybe.
That we don't get because it's on Showtime.
Yeah. Most of those Showtime shows suck. Cinemax, though, they're getting the Steven Soderbergh show.
Oh, so nice.
Someone might be getting a temporary subscription to Cinemax.
Yeah, fun paying for it, buddy.
Sing-songy voice. I don't know what that was all about. It's Cinema Sexy Niso. That groan's going to sound different to different people.
I'm sure it will, but it's not. It was a groan of disgust.
It was supposed to be a groan of disgust, but some people are going to initially think that it was a different type of groan.
Well,
that's just
the
way you are.
Good for them.
Also coming out on DVD, if you thought Nonstop was forgettable.
Yeah, which I did.
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
Oh, yeah, the other Kevin Costner movie.
The other Kevin Costner movie with Chris Pine as Jack Ryan.
I mean, it was...
Keira Knightley as his girlfriend.
It was pretty damn forgettable, actually.
Yeah, it was a very forgettable movie. Directed by Mick G.
No.
Who directed I Declare War. Remember that one?
No.
And, those Charlie's Angels movies,
which weren't really all that good,
and that Terminator Salvation movie,
which was once again pretty forgettable.
And Christian Slater was like, I wish I was Christian Bale, and Christian Bale was like, I'm gonna yell at this DP. Remember that?
Yeah.
What's coming out in theaters this weekend?
Coming out in theaters, you got a big weekend, bro. 22 Jump Street.
So I've talked in length before on this show about the comedy sequel.
Yes, and the curse of it.
The curse of the comedy sequel. It is impossible to make a comedy sequel that is as good as the original. It's always going to be inferior. Even if it's okay, it's not going to be as good. But guess what, Drew?
What?
Rumor has it, the word has come down from the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
The team of Lord and Miller.
Yes.
The mighty team of Lord and Miller has done it again.
What, they broke the broke the curse?
People thought they couldn't make a good movie out of 21 Jump Street, and they did.
Yes.
People thought they couldn't make a good Lego movie, and they did.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're, good Lord, Lego movie was one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Even I doubted that they could give us a good comedy sequel.
Agreed. And this the trailer doesn't look good at all.
The trailer doesn't really help that much, you know? But apparently, people are really liking this movie.
It's deceptively good.
People are really liking it.
Man, God, I hope these Lord Miller guys are around for a long time.
So do I. At the rate they're going, they're quickly becoming my favorites.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm really, really big fans of these guys.
Yeah.
Lord Miller. I just like saying Lord
Miller.
The team of Lord Miller. and then one day they're going to split up, and it's like, oh. This isn't as good, guys. You gotta get the band back together. Then they get the band back together, and it's like, it's not as good as
you guys should have stayed apart.
Why do we all age? Why we're dying? This is horrible. So yeah, 22 Jump Street. Based on the word of mouth, now I am looking forward to it more than I was before. So definitely see that this weekend. What else is coming out? What else are we gonna see?
I don't think we're gonna see this one. But How to Train Your Dragon Dose.
I saw a tweet online. Someone tweeted, if we're spending so much time training our dragon, we're never going to really know our dragon.
True that. So, yeah. Maybe that'll be the third one, How to Know Your Dragon.
Deep stuff there. Yeah, I guess we probably won't be seeing this.
I didn't see the first one, so there's no point in seeing the sequel.
Yeah, exactly. So anything else coming out?
Yeah, two probably lesser-known movies, but both of which I am very much looking forward to seeing. The Rover.
The Rover.
With Guy Pearce and Robert Patt.
Don't you mean The Rover?
The Rover.
Because it's Australian.
The Rover.
Because it's Australian.
The Rover.
Shout out to our Australian listeners.
Does that sound better? The Rover.
Oh, no, don't let us know. Don't let us know. But they're listening, though. Actually, they're listening. It's tomorrow over there. Maybe they'll let us know.
Today,
what happened on Game of Thrones tonight?
Yeah, and they can let us know about how we did in the past.
Australians of future past.
Yes.
But the Rover, yeah, Guy Pearce looks good.
It does.
Robert Pattinson.
It's 10 years after a global economic collapse, and shit is dirty and violent.
Yeah. When you think about it, I read a little blur by the guy who wrote this or whatever. Mm-hmm. He pointed out that if the world does go to shit, Australia will quickly become a third world country with first world resources. All the stuff that they have, all the oils and minerals and whatever they got going on over there, it'll be a place where it's not going to be good.
No.
Not going to be good. What, anything else going on? Oh, yeah.
The Signal.
Uh-huh. That looks interesting.
Which does it look? It looks crazy as fuck.
Yeah, so definitely check out the trailers for The Rover and The Signal. I think those look good. Hopefully we'll get to see them soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Soonish. Soonish and sharpish.
Mm-hmm.
Turkish, a little bit of snatch for you there. All right, well, you know what? Let's take a break. I got some music here for some Cinema Sexy Diso. I got from the Jackie Brown soundtrack. I love that soundtrack. It's a good soundtrack.
It is.
This is the Delphonics. Didn't I Blow Your Mind This Time? This is a song where Max Cherry, the bail bondsman, he's like, it's a song that he keeps listening to over and over. Jackie Brown plays it on the vinyl in her apartment, and then he goes to the CD store and he buys it on tape, and then he listens to the song, and then he gets in the car with Samuel Jackson, and the car comes on and that song comes on. He's like, shit, man, I didn't know you listened to Delphonics.
Huh,
and then Max Cherry's like, they're pretty good. Okay, so here we go.
Uh-huh.
We'll be back with the second half of the show in a minute.
Crespo Go. Welcome to the second half of episode 74 of Cinema Crespo Diso. Drewster, we made it.
Crespo, we made it.
I'm your host, Christopher Crespo. That's Drewster Cogburn. Drew, how's it going?
It's going.
Please go to chriscrespo.com. You can email the show at cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at Crespo Diso. Follow us, please. We would love the follows. We're almost at 500 followers. Come on, we could use a few more to get to 500. Help us. I am on Twitter at I am Chris Crespo. Drew is antihero419. Also on Instagram. Check him out on Instagram. And this is Cinema Crespo Diso Instagram. And I guess that's it for now. I want to put this out there because, you know, we're once that downtown studio where SBK Live, where they're recording now.
Yes, sir.
We're going to get that up and running full soon. And then we'll be broadcasting from there, doing live shows from
there. One of these Saturdays.
Pretty soon, we'll be there. And then when we do the live stuff, we're gonna need an intern to help us out with a lot of stuff. We already got one. We already got our intern, though. Shout out to our intern. You know who you are. I know you're listening. Hey, but you know what? If you want to get to work now, I'm gonna put the intern to work, Drew.
No, really?
Yep.
You're gonna put our studio intern to work, even though we have yet to be at the studio.
Before we're at the studio, you know how I'm gonna do that? I'm gonna see if you can book us some guests.
Okay.
So, intern. I don't want to say his name just yet. You know. I don't know if we're gonna come up with a goofy intern name for him, or if he has his own name, or what. We'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
Listen, I got a very short wish list of guests that I want to have on Cinema Crespo Diso one day. So, right now, I'm gonna put out four names. And you know, if you can work on these guys, maybe can secure one of these guests for the show, that'd be pretty cool. And if anyone else is listening, if you have a bead on one of these guys, hey, if you can get us, book the guests too, we'd appreciate
it. That'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. So, but here we go, put it out. First off, he's in town, usually around January's, when he comes here during the winter. Doug Benson, host of Doug Loves Movies, stand-up comedian.
Getting Doug with High,
Dining with Doug and Karen, a whole bunch of shows. I would love to have him on the show. That would be awesome. We would have a really fun time with him. So if you could try to get him on the show, that would be great. Also, Antonio Tarver, the boxer. Now you might be wondering, why would we want a boxer on a show? Well, Antonio Tarver also played Mason the Line Dixon in Rocky Balboa. And he lives in the Orlando, Central Florida area. So there you go. Two good reasons right there why I would love to have Mr. Tarver on the show. Say Antonio Tarver. Over there in the Sarasota area.
SRQ.
Stephen King's living over there.
He does.
He lives there like 7-8 months out of the year or something like
that.
He's also Stephen King. Kind of hard to wrangle. Intern, we can put this one out there. You know, for Mr. King, we can come to him. If we got to come to him and bring some equipment and record where he's more comfortable in Sarasota, we can do that. Maybe he's in Orlando sometime. Maybe, you know, we'll work something out. Anyway, we'd love to have him on because as a horror writer, he has made many contributions to the world of cinema and even directed his own movie, Maximum Overdrive. We'd love to talk to him about that. And finally, also living in the Central Florida area, if you could get Wesley Snipes on the show, we would really appreciate it. What's so funny? Why are you laughing, buddy? Shout out to Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
Passenger 57, drop zone, murder at 1600, the address that changes all the rules.
So awful.
I would love to have Wesley Snipes on the
That'd
show.
That'd be awesome.
Huge fan of the guy. So there you go, intern. Get to work. We appreciate it. All right, so according to my notes here, we're supposed to start talking about movie news. So let's do that. Maybe just pull up the few things I have here with episode 74 news. I don't have to click on this one. Guardians of the Galaxy is going to have shifting aspect ratios.
What?
The movies get changed from like long, like anamorphic, 235 by 1, you know, widescreen. It's going to change from that to like 185 to different, depending on what happens in the scene. It's going to change around. No, that's just something. James Cameron's working on Avatar sequels.
Sweet.
Specifically, he's doing Avatar 2, 3, and 4. And according to this article, a Q&A he did at the Hero Complex Film Festival, James Cameron says writing Avatar required 1,500 pages of notes.
Sweet.
1,500 pages of notes. For the Avatar sequels, it began with James Cameron spending a year writing 1,500 pages of notes of the world and the cultures and the different clans and different animals and different biomes and so on. This gave him a lot of loose thematic stuff, but nothing resembling a concrete story. And then, this is interesting, he took 4 screenwriters, and with all the screenwriters together, the whole group of them, they made 3 interconnecting stories based on all of these notes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then after they spent something like 8 months together. No, this is what it says here. 5 months. For 5 months, 8 hours a day, they came up with the whole story beat by beat for all 3 movies. And then at the end, after they came up with all 3 stories, that's when James Cameron let each writer know which story they were going to be, which screenplay they were writing. So all of them developed everything together. And they said, okay, now you're going to write 2. You are going to write 3, and you are going to write 4.
Why?
So that's how he's banging out 3 sequels at the same time.
I mean, he's James Cameron, so I have faith in the man, but...
it's ambitious as hell, you know?
Interesting.
No one's ever done a... the closest anyone's come to this is Peter Jackson with the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings movies. That's the closest anyone's come to making movies like this, so... Of course, it would be James Cameron do something like that. The first one expected to be in theaters December 2016, and the trilogy will be reuniting stars Sam Worthington, Zoe Saldana, and Stephen Lang. Which didn't he die? He's the guy with the scar face, the evil general guy. He died.
Well, maybe he didn't.
Maybe he didn't. You know, he was the best character. He's my favorite character, so I would love to see him come back. So that's how James Cameron. Is doing this Avatar sequels with a whole lot of work.
Interesting.
We've been following the ever-evolving story of Marvel's Ant-Man.
Yes.
And this story has been updating faster than we've been putting out episodes.
Uh-huh.
To recap, Edgar Wright, he brought up the idea of an Ant-Man movie to Marvel. It was his idea in 2006. He brought it to Marvel. Been working on it for the last pretty much almost a decade, 8 years, mm-hmm. trying to work out an Ant-Man story. Finally, Marvel was like, we're going to do an Ant-Man movie. It's going to be coming out in 2015. It's going to be right after Avengers 3. And then what happened was Edgar Wright turned in his screenplay to Marvel very recently. Marvel took it. They gave it to one of their in-house writers who then changed a lot. They gave it back to Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright was like, this is not the movie I want to make. And he split.
Yep.
Apparently, Marvel, the word around the campfire is that Marvel, part of the thing they did with Edgar Wright's screenplay, what they didn't like about it, the rewrite had an emphasis on current cultural references.
Okay.
So if you want to see a movie with Ant-Man on Twitter,
yeah,
that's more likely what we're going to get now.
Sweet.
Than with Edgar Wright. So Edgar Wright dropped out. Marvel, they have their movies planned out through 2020 or something.
Yeah.
They need Ant-Man now to happen. So they were trying to get directors. First, they're trying to get Adam McKay, who did, you know, The Other Guys and Talladega Nights, all those Will Ferrell movies, Anchorman. But Adam McKay was like, no, thanks. I don't want to direct it. Then they went to who's the other guy? It was Adam McKay, the dude who did Weird Millers.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the short list, and third director who all dropped out. None of them wanted to do it. Oh, Ruben Fleischer, the guy who did Zombieland and Gangster Squad and 30 Minutes or Less, and he was like, nope, none of these guys wanted to do it. So for a while there, it was looking like Marvel was up Schitt's Creek without a paddle because directors didn't even want to get on this movie. But they just announced they got their director. They actually have a whole new package. The screenplay is going to be rewritten by Adam McKay.
Okay.
So McKay's writing the script based on a story that the Marvel guys came up with.
Yeah.
And directing is this dude, Peyton Reed, who, what was his most recent movie? I got it right here. Actually, they say Adam McKay will be contributing to the screenplay.
Okay.
Where's Peyton Reed's previous films? He's a director who's like, nothing he's made has been that memorable. He's made one or two good movies and a couple that are like, I thought I had this information more readily available. Like, he did that Jim Carrey movie, Yes Man, which I never saw.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
Saw that.
Bring It On. People like Bring It On.
But with, what's her face?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. With what's her face?
No.
Oh boy. Here we go. Drewster Cogburn. Drewster Cogburn. Drewster Cogburn. Peyton Reed did direct 13 episodes of The Weird Al Show.
Okay.
Which, I love Weird Al Yankovic, but that show wasn't very good.
It was awful.
It was not a very good show. You did some Upright Citizens are great. That's probably the best thing he's done. Bring It On, Down With Love, The Breakup, Yes Man. God, it's not that great of a director, so. Ant-Man is going to suck.
Here we go. Sweet! Ant-Man's going to suck.
Here we go. Drewster Cogburn. A little twist this week on this week's sparring round. Look at this right here. Look at that. Look at that. Boom. Got one, two, three. I got five different... I got five different games of Drewster Cogburn versus
bored?
The world. All you gotta do is pick one. Pick your poison. Pick your poison. One, two, three, four, five, Drew. What do you want? What do you want? Your fate is in your hands, sir.
Number one.
Oh, man. Number one. Yeah. Put all these away. Here we go. Simple Trivia Pursuit game, Drew. Got a bunch of trivia questions here. See if you can answer. All right, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Name all six actors who have played James Bond.
Oh, good Lord. Sean Connery, uh-huh. Pierce Brosnan, uh-huh. Daniel Craig. Uh-huh. What the F is his face? I got their faces. Roger Moore?
All right, yep. You got four of the six so far.
Oh, man, I don't remember his name. And I can't think of the other one.
You got Timothy Dalton.
Oh, that's his name. That's the one that I couldn't remember. Then there was one guy who was maybe Bond once or something that I can't remember?
That's George Lazenby. The Australian George Lazenby. George Laserbrain.
Yes.
Number two. Name the first ever full-length in-color animated movie.
Full-length?
First ever.
In-color.
Oh,
I don't know. Fantasia.
Ooh, no. Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Dwarves.
Number three. How fast did the bus in the movie Speed need to go in order not to blow up?
It was like 55... 75. I don't even remember.
you were so 50. Yeah, at least 50 miles
an hour.
I thought
it was 55.
Oh, yeah, I mean, 55 is cool because it couldn't go under 50. That's what I was looking for. Number four. Who was the sponsor for the TV show Wayne's World in the movie Wayne's World?
I do not remember.
You don't remember? Remember the sponsor, right? There was a sponsor.
I do remember there was a sponsor.
He had to have the guy on and they made fun of him.
Vaguely.
The guy was played by Brian Doyle Murray. The name was Noah's Arcade. Yep. Number five. What was the name of Matt Dillon's band in the movie Singles?
Don't know.
Citizen Dick.
Nice.
Citizen Dick. Number six. And Back to the Future. From where did Doc Brown get the plutonium for his DeLorean?
Wasn't it like some sort of Muslim terrorists of some sort, wasn't it?
Can I get a country of origin?
Oh, Iran.
Libya.
Oh.
The Libyans is what I was looking for. Number seven, in The Golden Child.
Uh-huh.
What object does the child animate to amuse his captor?
Nothing.
You remember? The Coke can.
No.
When he made the Coke can start dancing.
No. Yeah.
Number 8. Name the robot in Short Circuit 1 and 2.
Johnny 5.
All right. Number 9. In National Lampoon's Vacation, what theme park did the Griswolds travel cross country to?
I do not remember.
Wally World.
Wally World.
And the big wooden roller coaster that they ride in that movie in the Wally World, they just announced that it's shutting down.
Oh, they're shutting it down.
And finally, number 10. What does the L stand for in Samuel L. Jackson?
No idea.
You want to take a guess?
Lester.
Leroy. Hey, Lester's kind of close. L-E. You got the first two letters, right?
That was pretty awful.
That was pretty awful. So, you know what else is pretty awful?
Your face.
And you know what third-wise is also pretty awful?
I don't know.
Jupiter Ascending.
I just heard about this.
It's been delayed.
Till February 2015.
Yes. Hollywood Reporter and several other outlets reported that Jupiter Ascending, which has only been, was supposed to come out in July.
It was supposed to come out here in a couple weeks.
Yes, about maybe 4 or 6 weeks away, has been pushed back to February 2015. They are hearing that the delay is mostly due to unfinished visual effects. However, that's the excuse that is usually given when a movie gets pushed back to February like that. Really, what happened most likely is that whoever's putting the movie out, Warner Brothers, it's probably two things. Number one, they probably feel like Jupiter Ascending can't make that much money in theaters, which it probably can't.
Yeah.
Maybe it's too weird for it to be a big summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
And number two, they just don't feel confident in it as a summer blockbuster. They feel like it would make more money in February. Yeah, I'm not buying this visual effects thing.
No, me neither.
I think
it's too weird.
And the marketing has been soft for it. It's not like I don't think they really know how to market this movie. I really don't get much of a sense of what the movie is about necessarily, other than Mila Kunis is like, she's the one and a bunch of people are trying to go after.
Yeah, yeah. Intergalactic soap opera, weird nonsense.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's going to, it looks like it's going to be awesome.
It seems big and epic and crazy, but, I don't know. I definitely feel like a lot of people just aren't sure what the movie's even going to be about, and that's definitely fine. What's hurting it. So
I'm okay. I still want
to
see it.
So what? Well, now we're gonna have to wait until February. Oh well. We reported recently on this show that other people have reported that Gareth Edwards, director of Godzilla, was doing a standalone Star Wars movie.
Yes.
The folks at Disney picked another director to do another standalone Star Wars movie.
All right.
This director happens to be Josh Trank, the guy who did Chronicle.
Okay.
And who's doing Fantastic Four now for Fox.
Okay.
Apparently, this guy can talk some game because he got himself from Chronicle to Fantastic Four. And before that movie even came out,
he
got himself
Star
on Star Wars.
Yeah.
This is another one of those spin-off movies. So it could be a Boba Fett movie. It could be a Yoda movie. It could be a Han Solo origin film. Any number of rumored standalone spinoff movies.
I don't know what to think about these things, man.
I don't know either. I don't know what to think about the spinoff movies, and I don't know how much I like these directors, these young guys, now being sucked into some franchise machines instead of putting out. I'm sure both Josh Trank and Gareth Edwards have great ideas for original movies.
Yeah.
But if they presented those ideas to these people, they'd be like, no, we can't give you money for this. But then if they turn around and say, well, I can do a Star Wars movie for you. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
Well,
people like Star Wars.
Maybe these guys, if these guys are good enough, then they'll do decent jobs with the material they've been given.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that will give them the clout to then make what they want.
Hopefully, right?
You know, I mean, dude directs a hit Star Wars movie. Guess what? Someone's going to give him some money to do something else.
Yeah, one for them, one for me type
exactly.
of thing. Exactly. Yeah. I hope so. I hope it works well for those guys. You know, good for them. I'm sure they're super happy to be working in the Star Wars sandboxes. Dream come true for sure. Hey, so we'll see. Those movies probably 2016, 2017 when those movies will be coming out. Got a whole bunch of questions here from show listeners. At Rage Against Twit writes, what do you think of Scott Derrickson, and who is the better Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Hardy, or Jared Leto? This is a question related to the news that came out this week that Marvel is pushing out with a Doctor Strange movie.
You know, I could. It's gonna be another. A Doctor Strange movie is gonna be like Jupiter Ascending. I don't think anybody knows how they're gonna market this weird ass movie.
Well, could it be maybe, even though I'm sure it's gonna be PG-13, could it go more of a horror route with Doctor Strange?
It could.
Supernatural.
Well, it's will be. Doctor Strange is very occult.
Yes.
I mean, hell, what on the Venture Brothers? There's a character, the next door neighbor.
Yeah.
That's a weird Doctor Strange.
Okay.
Same. They're making fun of Doctor Strange with that character.
Making a weird Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it could definitely be a fantasy-ish horror movie. Totally.
Okay. Well, first off, this fella Scott Derrickson, mm-hmm. He was tapped this week to be the director for Doctor Strange. He did The Exorcism of Emily Rose, Sinister.
Okay.
And then we saw the trailer today for that movie coming out where the Eric Bana plays the New York cop.
Oh, okay. That's him too?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all Scott Derrickson. So far, all he's done is horror. But, like, Emily Rose wasn't a straight horror movie. That was actually kind of a court procedural slash horror movie.
Well, this is going to be a comic weird. Book slash horror movie.
So this is going to be, yeah. So he's... Yeah, I mean, could it work? Maybe.
It could. It's going to be weird, though. It's going to be really weird.
Yeah, yeah. Now, the one thing that Scott Derrickson does do really well is he's really good at establishing, like, really intense, moody, dread-filled atmosphere, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, he does operate in horror movies so far. But, like, Sinister, even though, like, the whole point of Sinister, that was kind of lame and had a kind of a Twilight Zone-y twist ending that I admired more than I actually liked it. You know, because it was kind of ballsy, but also kind of dumb. But it'd be interesting to see what he would do with the comic book movie. If that kind of intense mood, if he could make something like that in the PG-13 world. You know, I don't know. We'll see. That would be interesting. But who would be... This, Drew, would have to be a question for you, since you know more about the character. Who would make a better Doctor Strange? Benedict Cumberbatch, Tom Hardy, or Jared Leto? These are the three actors that have been bandied about for this role lately.
I mean, I think looks-wise, mm-hmm. Cumberbatch.
Okay.
You got to give him a weird mustache, though.
Okay.
All these people have to have a weird mustache.
Okay.
So...
Weird mustache is fine.
Yeah. So, kind of long hair and weird mustache mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. pointy beard.
I'm sure all three actors will be fine with that.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I think Cumberbatch would be good.
You like the Cumberbatch?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, a Cumberbatch Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
That'd be good.
That could happen.
Yeah.
That could happen.
Because he looks like more of what Doctor Strange was drawn
like. Lankier, skinnier guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Jared Leto seems shorter than Cumberbatch, and Hardy is a little stockier. At Nathan Williams _, what's the best USA Up All Night movie of all time? Here's a list, and he provides a link. You ever watch those USA Up All Night presentations?
No.
On the USA channel? They did them in the late 80s, from the late 80s almost through the late 90s, and they played a range of movies late night on the USA Network on, I think, Saturday nights, Friday and Saturday nights. Then anywhere from like really schlocky, cheap horror movies to actually some kind of respectable films. And Nathan Williams, good old Nate, he found a list here. He found a link online to just a huge list of all the movies that they played on USA Up All Night. I can't go through all these pages, but let me read off some of these titles so you get an idea of what they played. And if any of you've seen any of these, Drew, go ahead and speak up. Let me know. Movies like 976 Evil. You ever see that one? I saw 976 Evil 2. I saw the sequel.
Yeah, no.
I saw the sequel.
Nope,
I
never
saw
the original.
They played the first three Nightmare on Elm Street's on there. They played a movie called Assault of the Party Nerds, as well as Assault of the Killer Bimbos. That happened to Drew a little earlier. They played Heavy Petting Detective.
Nope, haven't seen any of these.
No. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, everyone knows about that one.
Yeah.
A movie called Beach Balls.
Nope.
Nope. The Beach Girls. Nope. Bikini Car Wash and Bikini Car Wash 2, as well as Bikini Summer.
Nope.
And these are all, you know, I mean, even looking at the titles, and you know these are all like really
B-movies,
dumb, cheap
yeah.
B-movies, right? But then they also played Body Double, which is a Brian De Palma movie from the early 80s.
Weird.
With Michael Caine and Melanie Griffith. And what's this lady's name? I can't remember her name. But it's a really good movie. It's not like all these other movies. It's not like It's not like Cannibal Women. Or is there more to this title? No, just Cannibal Women. Cave Girl, Cheerleaders Wild Weekend, Cheerleader Camp, Chud 2, not Chud, just Chud 2, Class of Nukem High, Critters 1 and 2, Combat Academy, but then here's Evil Dead. That's a classic.
It is, you but know? It's also a B-movie.
Yeah, but it's a really, really well-done B-movie. Firestarter. You know what's funny? They have Ferocious Female Freedom Fighters Part 2 on here, but they never showed Ferocious Female Freedom Fighters. You ever see that one? Those are crazy Troma movies. Where Troma, they did this thing where they bought like this Filipino movie or a Thai movie or something. They bought the rights to this film, and then they played the movie straight, but then they redubbed all the dialogue. They rewrote the script, and they dubbed all the dialogue based on their own script, but on the movie that was already shot. So obviously it's a comedy, and it's pretty good. Pretty good. The Halloween movies, Halloween 1 and 2. Hollywood Shuffle, which doesn't fit on this list. Robert Townsend's Hollywood Shuffle, that's a really good movie. House 2, Howling 2, a lot of horror sequels missing the horror originals. That was USA Up All Night. That's what they were all about. Meatballs 3. You ever see Meatballs 3? That's the one where it's the summer lake, and what's his name has to do like a triple jump.
Nope.
On the water skis. Yep. On Facebook, jump into Facebook. Chris Ellis. Oh, Chris Ellis is from Forget That Yo Radio.
Oh, nice.
Stone to Terrible. Shout out to Forget That Yo. Check him out, ForgetThatYo.com. Chris Ellis asked, what is the worst movie blooper y'all have ever seen?
Oh, man. What was Bad Boys?
What you gonna do?
When I think it was Bad Boys, it was some movie I saw in the theaters, and in one scene they kind of pan out and you can see the boom mics up top.
Really?
Yeah. I forget if it was Bad Boys or maybe it was Dumb and Dumber, but it was something like I remember like it was a big movie and I was really surprised that it made it all the way through.
That could be I don't think they do this anymore because the things aren't on film now, it's digital projection.
Uh-huh.
But back on the day when things were done on film, when movies were sent on film reels to theaters for showing,
yeah,
a lot of shots have the boom mics in the shots. It's up to the projector to actually frame that stuff out.
Oh, well then, maybe it was just a blooper from the projectionist back in the day.
Yeah, they might not have just framed that movie properly when they were shown in that theater because it was the 90s.
Yeah.
They're talking about movies from the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, it was on film. Yeah.
I think it was Bad Boys. I saw the boom mics in one of the scenes in Bad Boys, and I was like, what? Like,
guys, come on. You know, that one, yeah. I've seen that happen in foreign movies, too, where I think, again, it might be, like, I'll find out afterwards. Like, it's a projectionist issue the whole time, not really. The one blooper I can think of that makes me, that jumps to mind immediately for me, there's a scene in Commando where David Patrick Kelly, mm-hmm. right? Like Commando, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he has him by his ankle and he's holding him over a cliff. And he's like, hey, Sully, remember when I said I'd kill you last? And he's like, yeah, you did, Matrix. And he goes, I lied. And he lets go and he drops him. He's like, nah! And he falls on a cliff. Leading up to that scene, there's like a little car chase where he's like driving this little yellow convertible and he smashes the side of the convertible and the side of it's all smashed up. So he drops him off the cliff. Schwarzenegger needs a ride. He sees a little convertible. So he grabs it and he flips it over back onto its wheels. And you see the side of the convertible is like the right side's all smashed up from one end to the other, just destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
He gets in the car and he speeds off, and then in the shot it cuts to another shot of the car speeding off and it fishtails a little bit as it drives off, and you can see the side that's supposed to be smashed up, and it's perfect.
Nice.
The car is perfect on both sides. It's well, like
they just, you know, put in a different edit.
Yeah,
we just need the car squealing off.
It's like, we forgot to do that, and they put it in, and then it shows the car pulling up to like the next scene at a different location, and the car is smashed up again.
Yeah.
It's like, wah wah, you guys. I always think of stuff like that. Back to Twitter @Etchy. Hey, that's Answer Pants. Shout out to Answer Pants on Rampant Radio. Listen to those guys. They're awesome. RampantRadio.com. At Etchy writes, worst movie ever? Mine would be The Ringer. Thought of it because Men in Black is on TV. Hashtag Johnny Knoxville.
I mean, to this day, I think Bad Taste is probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
It's a pretty bad movie.
It was
Peter Jackson's first.
It was just so bad.
Yeah.
Awful.
It's amazing.
It is. It's amazingly awful.
Considering what he was eventually capable of doing.
Yeah, exactly.
He would make something so shitty.
Well, I don't know. He did make The Lovely Bones.
Even then. Bad Taste was bad.
It's exactly that. Bad Taste.
Bad Taste is just... There's just... The thing is... naming a worst movie ever is so hard. Because there are so many bad movies. And sometimes movies get so bad they get good. You know? Like, if you can sit through the slower parts of The Room, that's a damn entertaining movie to watch. And it is so bad. it's incredible how poorly made it is in every step of the way, every regard. Everything about it is just awful, but to the point where it's like, this is fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
But then you have movies like Spawn that are just...
No!
That's just embarrassing almost, for everyone
Michael
involved.
J. White's career.
Yeah, that's just like, oh, everyone should just hang your head in shame.
Yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
And then you got movies like Troll 2, where you can't piss on hospitality.
Yeah,
but that has a cult following, you know.
It
now
does.
People see that in the midnight screenings, and
but
there's
they
a great
love
documentary
it because
made
it's bad.
It. Yes, but because it's so bad, it's entertaining. It's fun. Yeah. But then you have movies like the Uwe Boll films, which those are somehow they're still not even entertaining.
And Daredevil, things like Daredevil.
I've still never seen that Daredevil director's cut, where apparently like 20 or 30 minutes was cut out. That makes it watchable.
I don't believe it.
Well, maybe we'll have to track down the director's cut and watch it and see what happens.
Don't believe it.
Apparently, it's watchable. Not necessarily good. Ghost Rider, on the other hand, unsalvageable.
Yeah.
Ghost Rider 2.
Pretty good, actually.
Especially compared to Ghost Rider. Compared to that first one, it's goddamn great.
But then again, the second one does have a nice healthy dose of Idris Elba.
Yes, the Idris. The hell yeah, the Idris. Worst movie ever. I'm going to have to go with... that Ernest movie where he went to college. Wait, no, he didn't actually go to college. Like, it was something about him finding some English jewels in a cannon. And then he had to go to a college professor to help him with something. Yeah, that was bad. All right, there you go. Back to Twitter. Still on Twitter. At Tombo Fett. I'm sure you've seen it. Have you done a review on Miami Connection in Orlando? Speaking of bad movies.
That we have, actually.
It is an awesomely bad movie. Hashtag Netflix.
It is an awesomely bad movie.
Yeah, it is a bad movie. But that's a fun one. Because it has those scenes
it's only fun to watch if you've spent a decent amount of time in Orlando.
I know. I think it still has other things going for it.
No, it doesn't.
On the terms of being a bad movie, like the musical numbers where... The very fucking long musical numbers
where they're jamming out.
They're jamming out. The band is playing to a packed crowd. They're losing their minds. And then part of their stage performance includes some dudes doing karate demonstrations and then doing like karate things like they're dancing.
Uh-huh. Yep.
That's priceless in how funny it is because it's so stupid and so bad. I mean,
so
it's
awful.
Really awful. And then some of the like the action stuff, the fighting scenes. I think it's more like, you know, 80s, cheap 80s martial arts movies where I can get with that on a different level. I think it's actually kind of cool how some of that stuff was done. You know, they were really trying to show off like some martial arts stuff.
I'm sure they were. They just failed.
Yeah, no, I think they did it. I mean, considering that the guy who made it was the only movie ever made. He didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Considering that he didn't know what the fuck he was doing, the movie actually came out astoundingly good. Considering he did not know anything. He could have made a movie like The Room. The Room, I'm telling you, The Room is like, holy cow, it's bad. it's amazingly bad. But like you mentioned, movies shot in Orlando, in late 80s Orlando. So you get to see downtown, Church Street stuff, and UCF before UCF is the megalith.
That is now.
But I think it's a fun movie. It was on the Netflix. I don't think it's out there anymore, though. I think they might have taken it down. You know how they do in that fucking Netflix. Those bastards. Speaking of bad movies shot in Orlando, shout out to Ernest Saves Christmas. I love that movie. So good.
Did he save the town of Christmas that's just outside of Orlando?
No, that's the sequel. So bad he's dead. We'll have to get Hologram Ernest to do the sequel.
Sweet.
And on Facebook, Justin Davis, he asks, are there any actors that you consider terrible? There's a nice theme here with the movie bloopers mm-hmm. and worst movie. I like these guys.
Terrible actors.
These guys don't know. They don't know, but they put together a nice theme for us. Are there any actors that you consider terrible who have surprised you with a great performance? And I can say yes immediately. One comes to mind immediately. Barry Pepper. You know the name? Do you know the name Barry Pepper?
No.
You know the actor Barry Pepper. You okay. know him. Barry Pepper is not a good actor. I don't think he's a good actor. I've never really liked him. Until very recently. Like he did Battlefield Earth. All right, Battlefield Earth. Well, yeah, you've definitely seen some of mm-hmm. that, right? He's the human. He's the human guy
okay.
that like gets
okay,
everyone
gotcha.
Together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he was in 25th Hour. Yeah. Most recently, he was in that rock movie Snitch, mm-hmm. where he played the like an undercover drug guy with the long goatee. And even in that, he was okay. He is fucking fantastic in True Grit, the Coen Brothers True Grit. He plays like the lead outlaw of the gang mm-hmm. there, and he is really good. Like of all the things in that movie True Grit, when I left it, what I was most surprised about was how much I liked Barry Pepper in it.
Yeah,
I was like, God damn it, Coens, mm-hmm. I don't like this guy. Now you're making me like him.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you're making me change my mind about shit.
Yeah,
I don't like having my preconceived notions challenged.
Yep.
But they did it.
So yeah,
that's who comes to mind immediately for me: Barry Pepper and True Grit for sure.
For me, it's Channing Tatum.
That's a good one.
I've really kind of grown to enjoy watching his movies.
I like the guy now, yeah.
Like, it's like he first came out and he was just, you know, this meathead douchebag guy in Hollywood.
Who didn't know acting. He was plucked from the streets.
Exactly.
Know? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And now, you know, through the things that I've seen him do, I'm just kind of like, God damn it.
Well, it helps that he did a few movies with Steven Soderbergh.
Exactly.
You know, stuff like that. He's done Magic Mike, Side Effects.
Yeah.
And
both of which he was good in.
21 Jump Street really helped turn that. Now 22 Jump Street's
22
coming
Jump
out.
Street's
yeah.
coming out.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I'm actually quite surprised with the fact that I kind of like him now.
With Mr. Tatum.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
So there you go.
And I was looking forward to seeing freaking Jupiter Ascending. I want to know how Sean Bean's going to die.
Yeah, Sean Bean's going to die. Channing Tatum plays intergalactic bounty elf man.
with super flight shoes.
And Mila Kunis is some sort of space queen who cleans toilets and wears flannel.
Yes, and apparently, what, like bees are attracted to her or something?
Yeah, what was that all about? All right, well, that's your Cinema Sexy Diso for July 8th, 20... Dun, 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 dun. I don't know what's going on there. But thank you very much for downloading, listening. We appreciate it. Please rate us and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. On the Stitcher, you can hit the little... There's like a little thumbs up, thumbs down thing. If you hit a thumbs up, that'd be pretty sweet. Even add us to your favorite list, because that'd be cool, too. ChrisCrespo.com for downloads also, and yeah, so there you go. Thank you very much, Drew. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, sir.
There you go. Alright, and I'll give myself one of these. And we're out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode one of Cinema Itso Diso.
I'm Mr. Cogburn.
I'm Chris Crespo.
And we're eating dinner right now. So, Chris, what's on the menu?
Today's menu is Chuletas de Pernil. I'm not too sure how to say pork in Spanish.
That sounds mildly erotic, sir.
Just chuletas.
Just saying chuletas sounds kind of erotic.
Arroz con pollo. No, that's not true.
There is no pollo in this, buddy.
That's not true. I'm trying to do three things at once, and I'm trying to podcast, eat, and think at the same time. It's white rice, black beans, a little bit of avocado on top, breaded.
Not quite ripe on the avocado, by
not
the way.
Not quite ripe on the avocado, but still tasty. Well, maybe we'll call it dinner, Crespodiso. But then that limits us to dinner.
Dinner diso.
Mealtime, Crespodiso.
Mealtime with Cress.
Mealtime with Cress. Welcome to Mealtime with Cress. That is your host, Drew Cogburn.
Co-host.
No, you're the host.
Oh, I'm the host.
Yep.
But then who's Cress?
I am. I mean, it's with me.
But I'm the host?
Yeah. You're the host of Dinner Time. What's the name of the show again?
Mealtime with Cress.
You're the host of Mealtime.
It just happens to be with Cress every time?
Yeah, it just happens to be with me. I'm the side guy. Beans are a little salty. Not my best black beans, you gotta say.
Oh, I'm a pretty mediocre meal here, buddy.
Think so, really?
Hard avocados, salty beans.
Yeah.
You cooked the rice well. And you didn't fuck up the pork, but you never really do, so.
Pork's pretty easy.
You need to be more constant with your beans there, buddy.
I try.
No. No, you don't.
I do, though.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do.
You obviously don't. You cook these goddamn beans enough, you should have a fucking recipe in your head. Mm.
That's the thing. The recipe's in my head. Never wrote it down. Don't have exact measurements. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Black beans. That pork is good.
Too much salt.
In the pork?
No, in the beans.
Oh, in the beans.
In the beans.
Yeah.
Oh, so I did my bad turn daily.
Did you what?
I did my bad turn for the day.
Your bad turn for the day? Mm-hmm. All right, well, go ahead. This is Dinner Time Conversation with Juicy Cogburn. Welcome to episode one of Dinner Time.
No, I did my bad turn for the day.
Dinner Time Conversation with Juicy Cogburn. Go ahead, Drew. What was your bad turn for the day? Within, are you talking about like your bad deed?
Sure. Within 10 minutes of meeting somebody new, I already pissed them off and made them angry.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty funny.
No, it was awesome.
That made me laugh internally, not externally, because I didn't want to be double rude, but I laughed at that. It would have been double rude.
It would have been double rude, but it really would have sent the point home.
It's a laugh at the rudeness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was funny. It doesn't have much to do with dinner, but that was a Dinner Time Conversation with Juicy Cogburn.
It was Dinner Time Conversation. I'm just glad.
I'm looking forward to more episodes of that.
I'm just doing my part here, trying to piss people off.
One person at a time.
Hey.
You know, what's his name? Like, you know. I know.
See, the way I say it, if they don't like me, they're less inclined to talk to me.
Yeah, there you go. Or.
Oh, no.
Or
if it backfires.
Like, it backfires.
No.
It does the whole, who's this guy? He's so.
The bad guy.
This guy is such a badass that he doesn't even have to look at me. His dick must be really special. I really need to suck that dick. That's what that thought was.
I hate that.
So you screwed up. You should have been like, look him in the eye. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah. Hey, I'm eager. I'm an eager beaver. I'm ready to please you. And then they'd be like, ugh, this one's not worth my time.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
So you blew
it. I'm aware.
You blew it.
Damn it, Chris. I fucked up.
That was episode two of Dinner Conversations with Juicy Cogburn. Hope you enjoyed that one.
Damn it.
Back to Mealtime with Chris.
Can you get that microphone a little closer on your plate so we can actually hear you eating?
I'm trying not to chew into the microphone, and I'm doing very poorly at that.
I would like you actually to chew more into the microphone if you could, please.
Just wondering where I'm going to put this. I guess at the end of it's in the Crespo Diso.
Wait, are we actually recording?
Yes.
Even better. Oh, screw that, dude. This should totally just be our little middle skit. You know, like we had last time.
Oh, throw us in the middle?
Oh, yeah, just toss it in there, unbeknownst to anyone. They can hear us eating dinner.
This is a 5-6 minutes of us eating dinner and talking shit?
Of eating dinner and talking shit about people we barely know and probably won't ever like.
All right. Yeah, that works for me. All right, so I was going to say earlier, this fella known throughout the podcasting world as Doug Benson.
Yes. I'm aware of Mr. Benson.
He has like 6 different podcasts.
Uh-huh.
One of them is called Dining with Doug and Karen.
Okay.
Guy's such a genius. He gets his friend, stand-up comic friend of his, mm-hmm. Karen something or other. And the two of them, they meet up with some, like, awesome L.A. area chef. Like, some great chef whose restaurants are always booked ahead of time. And, you know, one of these guys. And they get him to cook him, like, a private little meal. And then they eat the food. And they talk about it. Genius. So smart.
Well, he's got the clout to do it.
He does have the clout to do it. He has people. They make jokes about how people will download now anything he does. People will download it.
Pretty much.
They will.
Just to see what it is.
To the point where he has a joke now about how he wants to do Doug Loves Sleeping. And it's going to be an 8-hour podcast
when he's sleeping. Sleeping.
Yeah. And people will download it. You know, see how many people download
it. He should do it. And I bet you the first, like, two or three episodes will probably be downloaded pretty well. And yep. Then after that, the novelty will wear off. And everybody's be like, it's just him sleeping.
It's just him sleeping.
Yeah, but it'll take a couple weeks before the masses realize what they've done.
Ridiculous.
Because, you know, people are stupid.
Good for him, though.
Ooh. So speaking of stupid people, I'm on a nice little website here, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
It's called whyihatepeople.com.
All right, so here's episode 3 of Dinner Time Conversations with Juicy Guyburn.
It's fantastic. They give you a word of the day. Guess what today's word of the day is? And it pertains to people. In fact, things that I really don't like about people, too.
Titty-fluous.
No, prate.
Prate.
P-R-A-T-E.
That's what I would have guessed. I would have guessed P-R-A-T-E.
It's a verb. To talk excessively and pointlessly.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how many people I hear prate on a constant basis?
Are you sure it's not prat?
It doesn't have any... I don't have any pronunciation keys
because
with
if
this.
Someone prattles on...
All I know is it's spelled P-R-A-T-E.
I wonder if that's where prattles on comes from.
I don't have the little, you know, things that teach me how to pronounce it correctly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The pronunciation keys
the
and all
The lines
that.
And the...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The umlauts and the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Excuse you.
No, fuck you. I don't excuse myself for shit. I burped. Deal with it.
I think that's something for proud. Well, that was episode 3 of the Dinner Time Conversation. Juicy Guyburn. Back to Mealtime with Drew. No, Mealtime with Chris.
Mealtime with Chris.
Hosted by Juicy Guyburn.
Just the sound of Chris eating.
No, I'm just go ahead. I'm gonna go.
And now back to Mealtime with Chris.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and. I'll just stop that there.